This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Beverly Turner.
Good evening. This is Beverly Turner with you every Saturday night, 8 till 10. Thank you very much for joining me. Stick around, won't you? I can't do it without you. 0345 6060973 is the number, as always. Now, after 9 o'clock, so we're going to be talking about an issue very close to my heart, teenagers with screen addiction. This is after one man became a bit of an internet sensation today, a bit of a parenting icon, in fact, because he took a circular saw to his kid's PlayStation. I want to find out what sort of the size of the problem of this is in your house at 9 o'clock. Let's talk about that. And we're going to bring you the latest from the Paris riots, of course, as well as the evening goes on. But first of all, gay conversion therapy. What are your thoughts on that, if I say those three words? Basically, this is a sort of psychotherapy steeped in religion, which claims to be able to cure a person of their homosexuality. It clearly has no place, does it? In 2018, 0345 6060973. It just seems ridiculous to me that the idea that you could cure somebody of their sexual orientation through any means. Do you agree? Give me a call, 0345 6060973. The reason we're talking about this is because faith groups, particularly a group of senior Church of England bishops, are going to begin an inquiry into these therapies and the prevalence of them amongst religious groups. The government, you may remember back in July, as part of LGBT equality plan, promised to outlaw gay conversion therapy. They actually said that they would consider all legislative and non-legislative options to prohibit promoting, offering or conducting conversion therapy. We're going to talk to a gentleman in just a moment who claims that his sexuality was cured by this sort of conversion therapy. So stick around to hear what he has to say. The interesting findings in those people who know about these things, and this I think is probably why these bishops are looking into it now, is that there is a suggestion that the incidence of people looking for this therapy is on the increase. Now, that seems very strange to me. Never have we been more tolerant, understanding, accepting of anybody's sexual preference. We have never been more open-minded about LGBT choices. So let's recall it. See, choices isn't even the right word, is it? Sometimes this particular issue, you fall over the language. But we've never been more understanding of being gay. And so why on earth would there be, an increase in people accessing these sorts of therapies, do you think? That's the first question. And do the government have a responsibility to ban these sorts of therapies? What's going on? 0345 6060 973. You can text me on 84850 or tweet at LBC. Now, I'm going to talk now, as I said, to Michael Davidson. Michael is from the Northern Ireland-based Core Issues Trust. Hello, Michael.
Hello there.
Hi. So you are, correct me if I'm wrong, this is a Christian group, a new council gay people seeking help with unwanted same-sex attraction. Have I got that right?
Yes, they come to us and for whatever reason they want to move away from it, and we take them seriously and help them as far as we can.
And have you seen an increase in numbers recently?
Certainly, yes. If we're talking about the period from the General Synod vote in York in 2017, well, we get a steady number, a consistent group of people who are not getting help in the ordinary system and therefore come in our direction.
And what do you do when they come to you? What's your first sort of interaction with them?
Well, we assess them. We have to make sure that they're not being sent by, you know, a spouse or a sibling or a church group. We have to make sure that they're there of their own accord and that this is something that they want to do. And with that kind of informed consent, then we would go ahead and explore what the options are, because people have different goals. And there are always different outcomes in terms of what we do. And we offer standard psychotherapeutic and counseling techniques. There's no kind of exotic therapy that we're practicing on these people.
It's quite exotic, though, to suggest you can change someone's sexuality.
Well, what we find is when you deal with emotional issues that most of us have in our lives, sometimes there is a shift of feeling. It's almost as though there is an emotional desire for connection, which, when it is met in other ways, means that people don't go on in their homosexual expression because the emotional need that is expressing that has been met.
Give me some sort of example, Mike. So if I, because I'm sitting here thinking, well, as a heterosexual woman, I couldn't have therapy, which would therefore turn me gay. Mm-hmm. And therefore, why, as a gay man that would come into your therapy room, how could you possibly provide therapy that would turn him straight?
Well, the therapy I offer doesn't turn people straight. What I do is I work with their underlying emotional issues, and that is sometimes the result, not always. So what we are doing is simply taking seriously people's desire to establish their own trajectory in life. These are adult people. They don't buy this idea that they're just the product of, you know, homophobia in society. They've given it a go. They've maybe come from an active gay life, and now they want to go in a different direction. And we think that sexual fluidity is a reality. And therefore, if a person chooses to go towards homosexuality and to explore their homosexual potentiality, we need to do that, just as people who realize that they have homosexual feelings and are drawn to the gay identity. Well, that can be affirmed, but we think the other side of the coin is also true, and we need to respect those rights.
So when you say that you agree that sexual fluidity is a reality, mm-hmm. I think you and I would agree, definitely agree on that. But the goal of this therapy is always not to be gay.
The goal of this therapy is to listen to the client. And the client, for example, you wanted an example. A client may come and say, look, I have been in a gay relationship. I've had several of these. I'm, 34 years of age. And I am at a point now where this is no longer the way that I want to live my life. I wasn't always going in this direction. I remember a time when I was clearly attracted to a girl. This happened, that happened, the other thing happened. We explore it, we listen to their goal, and we take them seriously. We don't simply say, well, you know, forget it, you were born this way, goodbye, accept being gay and live happily ever after. Or we're dealing with a man who has been married for 7 years, and all of a sudden he has an attraction to a man, and he doesn't understand it. He wants to stay in his marriage, he loves his children. What is wrong with exploring that and seeing where it goes?
Where does it go, commonly?
Well, for some people, it goes towards a realization that actually that is not how they want to live their lives. And so I can tell you about people who, after a period of maybe 2.5 years, have gone into viable relationships with the opposite sex, fulfilled in every sense of the word, happy and content in their new life. They're not bad-mouthing anybody else or they're looking down on other people, but for them, that is what they want to do. And they experience happiness and joy and fulfillment, a rise in self-esteem, a lessening of depression, a lessening of addiction to pornographic material, and that helps them.
You make a very persuasive case, Mike. You talk about something which on paper just does sound abhorrent, and it sounds the very definition of intolerance in many ways, to talk about being able to change somebody's sexuality.
Which I don't do.
What do you mean? Go on.
I simply listen to what it is that is troubling people. And very often we find there are unmet emotional needs that have become, people have focused on these and thought that going and expressing themselves homosexually will satisfy them. But their experience is that they're not satisfied, and it was a mirage, and they want to step back. Now, that's not everybody's experience, but for this population, it is.
So do you accept, therefore, that our sexual orientation is not set? I mean, you would use the word fluid anyway, but so that any of us could be attracted to either our own sex or the opposite sex at any time?
I think the very history of the world teaches us that the ancients were clearly familiar with the fact, you know, they had a kind of pansexual view of life, and they expressed themselves sexually across the gender divide. And I think that is a reality. But people's primary values that are more important actually than their sense of sexuality are really important to them, and they want to align their values and their practices. Now, we all have different values, but these people, often Christian or people from other faith groups or just people who have no faith but, you know, their values are, let's say, socially conservative, want to go in this direction. And in a democratic society, we need to respect that. And our professional services need to have a space. But you see, what's happened now, Beverly, is if you have a different point of view in the world today, you cannot get professional training. I was removed from my training course because I held a different point of view, and I was not allowed to complete my course. What we need is diversity, ideological diversity, so that there are checks and balances. But what we have at the moment is one point of view, and if you don't hold to that point of view, you are excluded from professional life and often from public opinion.
There is what you identify, Mike, is this conflict that we have between, as you said, about we use the phrase socially conservative notion. We have, I guess, that is at odds with a liberal mindset that would embrace LGBT issues. But within this, there is also the religious element, and there is the conflict between an old-fashioned type of Christianity, which I think, if you forgive me, that's what you represent from your Christian group, and a more modern mindset, which is all about tolerance and acceptance and the individual to some extent, rather than the collective. Can you understand the concerns of people who would think that your mode of thinking is outdated?
Well, and they're entitled to think that. But if they think that liberalism is simply going to wipe the slate clean and remove a more conservative point of view, they have another thing coming. It just isn't going to happen. There does need to be checks and balances. People do need to be challenged, and bad practice, hurtful actions on the part of religious leaders or therapists or anybody, parents, needs to be called to account. And we must have the means to do that. But banning this will simply push it underground, and then there's no accountability structure. What we should be doing is coming to the table. And, you know, if our science is bad, then show us. Show us in the hard science. Show us the peer-reviewed literature where we are wrong. But you see, we are consistently denied access to the table.
But you see, there is no peer-reviewed literature to say that you are also right, Mike. This is the issue. When it comes to homosexuality or whatever gender or sexual orientation,
I take issue with you, Beverly. So I would ask your listeners to go to the 2014 journal, American Psychological Association handbook on sexuality and psychology. And you will see that Professor Lisa Diamond, who is a lesbian person herself, has said we must get beyond born gay. Now, I'm not saying that she will agree with what I am saying, but the American Psychological Association itself agrees that we are not born gay, that there is often a cause.
Give me an example. What kind of event might cause a man to be more attracted to men?
According to the American Psychological Association, trauma can, in other words, abuse, can lead to homosexual enactment. So how are we going to handle those who have been abused if we ban therapy where they are saying, I was abused and I began this life and I want to go back to the default position that I know I had before this took place?
So if gay people will be listening to this, and no doubt they will pick up the phone and call me. They would find that, some of them, maybe I might be wrong, but they might find that quite offensive, the idea that who they are attracted to was somehow a malfunction of their psychological makeup.
For some people, trauma is the issue. I would say,
but not everybody.
I don't want to lay, there'll always be exceptions to the rule. There will be those who will say they had the most idyllic relationship growing up in their home. Take this story that is mentioned in this article that I think this interview is based on in the Times today. It talks about Boy Erased. Now, it never ceases to amaze me that Hollywood has taken that film based on a book. But the interesting thing is, if you read the book, the young man involved, number one, clearly came from a completely dysfunctional home, according to his own testimony. That fact is completely glossed over in the film. Number two, he's raped in real life, but there is no mention of that in the film.
I haven't seen this film yet, and no doubt as this becomes, people start talking about it more, it's called Boy Erased. It's about a pastor's son, isn't it, who's forced into conversion therapy. It's earned a Golden Globe nomination. Just tell me what therapy, conversion therapy involves, Mike. What is the process? You've said it's just typical talking therapy, psychotherapy. But we've also read about, what are the government? They quoted some pseudo-psychological treatments and extreme cases, surgical interventions and corrective rape. Are those practices that you're familiar with, that you know are happening?
Well, the mind boggles, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We did a Freedom of Information request asking for all instances in Great Britain where individuals have been convicted of corrective rape. And the answer?
Zero.
Zero.
But it's not the kind of thing that somebody's going to take to court, is there? If somebody has been unwillingly gone and undergone what they might term corrective rape, they're not going to try and press charges against
okay.
that person.
Okay, well, who did the hormone treatment? That's right, the Royal College of Psychiatrists, the General Medical Council. Who did the shock treatment? It's that group of people, not the church, not the religious groups, on the pseudo-psychological. Well, okay, that may be. But then what you do to change that is give people free access to good training so that they have a good, solid basis. You don't shut the doors to them because they have an ideological point of view that is different to the prevailing position in the mental health bodies. It's just not enough to say that they are the experts.
Okay, Mike, thank you. Well, we've had plenty of time chatting. Mike Davidson there, CEO of Core Issues Trust, a charity that offers counselling support for those who have unwanted same-sex attractions.